We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, we are. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. What up and welcome into Maggie and Pearl Off. Happy Friday to you. The divisional round kicks off in just a few hours or so. You didn't need to go with the face paint today. I mean, that was a little much.
Well, it's our first divisional round as a show. This is exciting. People say this is the best round of the playoffs. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the most exciting weekends, although historically, statistically, you don't get tons of upsets usually in this round, but you and I are going to tell the audience a couple of our upsets for the weekend, and that's actually where we're going to start, because I don't know who is starting this rumor out there that somehow Josh Allen has more at stake in this game than Patrick Mahomes, because I'm going to put an end to that right now. I don't understand how we as a football-loving society, Perloff, society, how did we get to a place where Patrick Mahomes doesn't have more at stake in this game? Josh Allen is still the hunter here. It is Mahomes who is the one who's being hunted. He's the one who's already won a Super Bowl. He's the one who's already won an MVP. He's the one-time All-Pro, the four-time Pro Bowler. He's the guy who is now the standard bearer for best quarterback in the league, like him and Rodgers, maybe 1-1A. But if you were to ask the question to football fans across this country, if you could start a franchise right now, what quarterback would you take? If you are a real football fan, 99% of the audience would say Patrick Mahomes. If you want to start a debate, like, you can start it maybe for the sake of it if you like to be a contrarian, but we all know you'd go with Mahomes. How does that make Josh Allen the one with more at stake here? He's still climbing the mountain. Mahomes has got nowhere to go but down. Mahomes is the one who should be feeling the pressure in this game. Mahomes is the one who's got it all riding, because the Kansas City Chiefs are trying to be a dynasty here. The Bills are still scrapping and clawing, Perloff. I don't understand how they go into this game. They're, I know, a 1.5 point, you know, betting underdog, but it feels like there's this momentum behind the Bills that should make them a favorite, and I don't understand where that's coming from, actually.
Couple questions here.
Sure.
Aren't Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes basically the same age?
About, yeah.
So
Mahomes is a year older.
He's a year older. It's not
and
like
look how accomplished he is.
Right, but you're not comparing Josh Allen to Tom Brady. Like, Josh Allen should be at the top of the mountain. And this is today's NFL. What's his fourth year?
This will be his fifth, yeah.
So you know what the narrative's going to be.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win here, Josh Allen can't win the big one.
See,
where Mahomes already won the big one. That's why it seems clear to me that the pressure's on Josh Allen.
Yeah, well, yes, fourth year. He'll be going into the fifth next year. The thing is, no. See, why do we do that? We're doing that thing again that we do in sports that bothers me. Because why is this any different, or why would this be any different than what Peyton Manning went through early in his career, where it took Peyton Manning the first 3 years he was in the league, he didn't even win a playoff game. Okay, that I can understand you build a little bit of tension there. He lost to Brady back-to-back years, 03, 04. He lost to Ben Roethlisberger in 05. Hell, he lost to Chad Pennington in year three. I mean, anything can happen here. But it started to build on him, when is Peyton Manning going to win the big one? And he was 6 years in.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, this is year four. How are we already at a place where we're wondering whether or not he could win the big one? We could go back to Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time. Yeah. How many times did he have to fail? Couldn't even make it out of the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs before he finally got to his first finals in 91. I mean, he was drafted in 84. Why are we speeding this up on Josh Allen as if the Bills don't win on Sunday, that somehow this is a massive failure? No, if Mahomes doesn't win on Sunday, it's a massive failure. He's the one who is the standard bearer, and he's the one who's at the top of the mountain. He's the one who's trying to defend everything that he has accomplished up until this point. It is on Mahomes to keep defending it. Allen's still trying to, climb the mountain. You're shaking your head at me, and I don't understand why.
It's 2022. Peyton Manning, that was 100 years ago. We used to give guys a chance. Michael Jordan was 200 years ago. You know how things have changed. Tua
Tagovailoa. Can we put the brakes on just for a second?
But look around. The Eagles fired Jalen Hurts. He's 23. The Dolphins fans would want Tua out. He's 23. We do not wait on anybody anymore. There's no progression to the title. Nobody does that anymore. Okay. Not only that, we killed Peyton Manning all the time for losing the playoffs. That's where Josh Allen, he's going to be an early Peyton Manning.
Okay, well, first of all, we don't know that yet, but it's not 6 years in, right? It was a loss in the AFC Championship game a year ago that, yes, was devastating, but maybe the team was just kind of like on its journey. And now you're in the divisional round. You're still playing a team that was in the Super Bowl the last 2 years and won 2 years ago. Like, I understand that Josh Allen came in with tons of hype this year for the MVP, and he didn't live up to that standard, and Aaron Rodgers is most likely going to win it this year. But, like, I don't see that as some huge failure. That was our projection on them. Like, if we want to do this sped up thing, I mean, I get it, but it doesn't even work really with Josh Allen because he already got paid. So you're not even going at the, like, you got to win in your window thing. Like, the dude got the $150 million guaranteed. Like, it's already set. Now he does have a little bit of time to try to win this game. It's so all or nothing on this. Like,
Maggie, he doesn't have time. You know what Monday's shows are going to be if the Bills lose. Josh Allen can't win the big one. It's going to be the first storyline on ESPN.
First of all, is the divisional round the big one? when did that become the big one? But it will be the rivalry. I get that.
No, this game is the big one. This is the game. I don't think people are making any distinction between the AFC title game is going to be an afterthought to this game. And you're a little close. Because you're a Bills fan.
I am.
This is the game.
No, and I'm excited about this game.
Do you
game.
Agree with that, though, that this is really feels like a bigger game than whatever the AFC title game is going to be?
I will agree with that if you will agree with me on that Patrick Mahomes has more at stake.
Is anybody talking about Patrick Mahomes right now?
Yeah, see, I think that's not fair. Like, whatever, I can whine about that. Life's not fair. Got it, Maggie. But, like, in our little sports bubble and where we are, like, this isn't right. Like, the way that things usually work is that if you are the defending conference champion, then you are the one who has the pressure. How did this all push onto Josh Allen? Is it because they beat Belichick the way they did in the wild card round? Because, I don't know, I watched the Kansas City Chiefs, and after that first quarter, they stomped the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, let me ask you that question. Why do you think people aren't talking about Mahomes right now? I think people think the team around him is a bit messy, and if anything goes wrong, it's not Mahomes' fault. That's how people view it.
Watching the Chiefs, why? Because they lost to the Bengals in that last second game at the end of the season? Like, where's the proof?
Right, because
the second half of the year was, like, excellent for them. They were back to excellence.
When they lose, it's because Mahomes is playing great and some guy runs into the punter and gives the Bengals a whole new second life. They make stupid mistakes all over. They fumble the ball. They have penalties. The heat never comes on Mahomes, even though he's a million turnovers. It did early in the season. I feel like we got all our anti-Mahomes takes out early. I'm telling you, there's
nobody. It never
even
got on him. We put it on his brother and, like, his wife's on TikTok, and, like, all of a sudden she became an enemy number one.
No, you're right. We give Mahomes a pass, and I'm not saying it's right. You probably have a very valid point, but the reality is this is going to come down on Josh Allen if the Bills don't win this game. And I know they're 1.5-point underdogs. That's not how the media views them. They view them
as the betting public.
Yeah, they view them as the favorite. Like
line moved and there's no home. It's like the Vegas is basically telling there's no home field advantage.
All these storylines are flipped. You're right. The logic says the pressure should be on Mahomes, but the reality is it's on Josh Allen and the Bills.
And I just think I don't like it. 855-212-4 CBS. 855-212-4227. That's the equivalent. Like, that's as much as you're going to see me. Like, I just pouted and I stomped a foot.
But also, you made a good point the other day.
I'm crying.
This does feel like a natural progression for the Bills, by the way. I'm not saying that they're going to this year, but they're kind of building a champion the way we used to see champions be built.
Yes, and the other part, too, is if you've been watching the Bills kind of closely, they've actually been building their team to beat the Chiefs. And their general manager, Brandon Bean, actually kind of said as much, which was when he was talking about their draft strategy last year and how they were, basically loading up on pass rushers. It was because, and he said this, we felt like we didn't put enough pressure on Mahomes in the championship game. So this wasn't about the set. This wasn't about secondary. This wasn't about anything. It was we didn't put enough pressure on Mahomes in the championship game. So when we went into the draft this year, this is where our, you know, priorities lie.
Oh, no. So now you're setting up a storyline where they're built to beat the Chiefs. And we saw this during the regular season.
Yeah.
Then they face a run team like the Titans, and they're too small and pass rush oriented and too fast, and they get run all over.
Of course that would happen.
You know, I told you my worst case scenario,
and
I'm jumping at, is that the Bills win this game. Get, you know, slay another dragon, if you've been saying all week.
Yes.
And then lose to the Titans.
No, they can't.
What do you mean they can't?
Well, I mean, anyone could do. But if we're, anyone can lose anyone, of course, it's the NFL playoffs. But the way that this is setting up with the revenge tour that I laid out much earlier in the week was that you've got to beat Mahomes and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game because to avenge the AFC Championship loss last year. And then the Titans, and that's the old stuff. That's the Music City Miracle, which I talked about on Tuesday. And you were like, Josh Allen was four when the Music City Miracle.
No, I felt like
Josh Allen wouldn't know Rob Johnson if like they, you know, crossed each other on the street. True. But I would remember Rob Johnson if I crossed saw him on the street. And that is like one of the most painful Bills memories of all time. So I'm not putting that on Josh Allen. I'm just saying for the fans, that would be amazing. And then obviously the best part would be is if Brady's waiting for them at the end.
I was actually a little worried about your Bills because I scored too many points against the Patriots. Now, I know that
they
sounds
scored
stupid.
Too many points?
But sometimes...
You can't score too many points against the Patriots.
So, see, again.
I know. I'm a
little the Bills fan in you. But sometimes you beat your enemy, you know, you vanquish your foe, and then you run out of energy for the following week.
Yeah,
you don't think that's going to happen here?
I'm not getting that feeling.
No.
I'm not getting that feeling because I didn't see the Bills, like, over-celebrating when they won this game. To be honest, they kind of over-celebrated when they beat the Patriots as a deep cut the day after Christmas because of what had happened on the Monday night game when the Patriots had three... pass it like, you know, Mac Jones passed the ball three times and they beat the Bills in Buffalo, and that was like very embarrassing. The team took it personally. So then they met in Foxborough the day after Christmas and the Bills won that game, but it didn't get a ton of attention because day after Christmas everyone's kind of in that sort of Christmas hangover, so didn't get a ton of attention, and they celebrated like crazy and they kept it pretty businesslike after the wild card
okay
round.
I'm glad to hear that. Again, if they did beat Kansas City and lost to Tennessee, that'd be like the Boston Red Sox beating the Yankees down 3-0 in 2004 and losing to the Cardinals in the World Series.
It can't happen.
No, I really am saying that as a neutral fan. I have no rooting interest in Buffalo except that I'm friends with you. And I kind of
now you're along for the ride.
By the way, and the ride is not as joyful as you think. It is. I thought Eagles fans were stressed out. This is Maggie has been like,
I'm on edge, man.
Yeah,
you're on edge.
There's no messing around with Maggie. If you call in today, just be careful because pre-divisional round Buffalo Bills actually have a chance. You're a bit scary.
It's really stressful. It's stressful. I'm stressed, like, for my family. This is when I start, the time of year I start hearing from friends that I generally don't really talk to until the Bills, you know, kind of get into crunch time here and people start coming out of the woodwork. I love it. I love it. If any of those people in my life are listening, I absolutely love it. It's just, you know, you start feeling it, get a little tight, a little tense. And then, for some reason, you're going into Arrowhead, a place that is notoriously hard to play. And it feels like the entire world is like, man, what a disappointment if the Bills lay an egg here. It's like, wait a minute, what? This is, has to be, what a disappointment if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs lose this game. That's the story.
I'm really curious if you get any callers to agree with you on this, that the pressure should be on Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, you do have a valid point. If Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs lose, I think the shine will be off Patrick Mahomes. He played very poorly in the Super Bowl. He was getting pass rush right crazy. I don't know if the Bills can do that. You're right in theory, but in reality, I just worry that nobody is going to give Josh Allen time.
I mean, who's the one with all the commercials? You know, the State Farm, and you're trying to get the Mahomes rate. What, Josh Allen's not on one national commercial? Give me the national commercial. How is he the bigger deal here?
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you don't punt in pretty much three out of four games.
When you score records.
11 touchdowns in a row or whatever it was. When Josh Allen throws the ball 60 yards in the air on a dime. The expectations have risen so high, and there's a reason they've looked too good. I just hope
they
haven't peaked too early. They've looked too good.
You can't win around here. You know?
No, you can't. You can't.
You can't.
And the other thing, you know, I think, and you agree with this, you cannot go week to week. You can't say the Bills blew out the Patriots, they're going to carry that over.
Yeah, like an ipso facto.
Right.
Yeah, the NFL playoffs don't really work like that.
Right. You could be the Niners who edge the Cowboys and then come be a completely different team week to week because the matchups are so different. I think we make that mistake. We saw the Chiefs dominate the Steelers. We saw the Bills dominate the Patriots, and we expect the same thing. Everyone I've heard talk about this game has said 38-35, something like that.
Odd that the shootout seems to also be the kind of like popular take.
Well, you've had your, you've really had a sort of a you've been pretty sharp, your analysis of the Bills. Is it going to be a shootout?
So I kind of tend to think that both teams are going to want to really get the run game going in this game, because that's really what the Bills have done, you know, against the Patriots last week. Like, everything was working for them. But how they sort of finished the year strong was they really found something in Devin Singletary. He's been carrying the ball great, hasn't been turning the ball over, and that's been a real key for them. You know, Isaiah McKenzie coming on, but really being able to run the ball has been a big factor. And I think that the Kansas City Chiefs probably look and say, how do people mostly beat the Bills? They mostly beat the Bills by running all over them. Although last year in the championship game, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce both combined for like over 270 yards. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm so glad I asked, because everyone expects Mahomes and Josh Allen to throw 8 touchdowns apiece, when the reality is, I think you bring up a great point, both teams are going to try and keep it out of the hands of the other quarterback.
I think so, right? They want to try to keep them off the field, so you want these long drives and stuff like that, which means definitely running the ball. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You want to get involved in our conversation. Shouldn't Mahomes be the one with more at stake here than Josh Allen? I know I'm a little close. I get it. Bills fan, this is a tough time of year for me, and exciting time of year. But it just doesn't make sense. Mahomes is the one who's at the top of the mountain. He's the one who's got everything at stake. Josh Allen is still, we're still writing his story. Yeah.
By the way, I am so relaxed for this weekend with the Philadelphia Eagles not even being close last week. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the game.
You do seem rested.
Oh, my God. You'll be there soon enough.
No, it's like all of a sudden the 76ers have won some games, and your Eagles, you don't have to worry about it. You know, no one's getting fired or hired this year. You don't have to worry about front office maneuverings. No, you love your quarterback, so.
I want my teams to win,
street.
But the stress of playoffs, I can't deal with. There's enough going on in modern life to deal with Buffalo. But there's so much pressure. This team has never won a Super Bowl. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I know. I've heard before. We have a very important injury update that we're going to get to you in just a minute. And also, are we witnessing a farewell tour and we didn't even know it? Okay. Maggie and Perloff, we're hanging out with you on this Friday before the divisional round. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can also find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl, P-E-R-L, at Andrew Perloff, at Maggie Gray. Vamanos, muchachos. Let's go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Maggie is, she's tense. She's definitely on edge.
Is that like any different from a normal day?
No, this is definitely a different Maggie. It's been building all week. I noticed that like little things were like a door would slam and you would sort of all of
like
a sudden
jump.
Turn.
Yeah.
You're getting like the adrenaline starting to flow. It
well,
is
someone
almost,
was like, Maggie, I'm like, who wants to know?
Yeah. It's almost game time for her Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs. But of course, there are 3 other games. Even though, even to me, as a non-Bills fan, this feels like the big game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Los Angeles Rams, there's some significant injury news. Maggie, what do you got?
Yeah, so Sean McVay had his press conference earlier today, and it looks like left tackle Andrew Whitworth is not going to be participating in the game on Sunday. That game's Sunday, right? Yeah, Sunday in Tampa Bay. And, you know, I'd say that's a significant loss anytime a team will lose their left tackle. However, his backup played very well against the Cardinals. However, that entire Rams team played well against the Cardinals. The Cardinals never had a shot in that game. His backup played very well, and the guy is like 40.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, you know, Andrew Whitworth is a great story. He's like the elder
awesome
statement
story
of that team. But I kind of feel like at 40, maybe they can replace him. And they did keep rolling against the Cardinals.
Yeah, they had everything going there. I don't even know if we've seen half of the McVay like playbook. And we saw even some trick plays with Odell throwing the ball 40 yards to Cam Akers and all that stuff. But I don't know if we've even really seen like all the tricks that the Rams offense has on tap for the Bucs.
Man, we're going to do picks later. That one, you have to admit, that is a tough one. Because the Rams, before this Whitworth news, were the healthier team. They came off, they looked amazing. There's so many stars on the Rams where the Bucs felt like they were hobbling by the end of that Eagles game. I don't know. I feel like this is, of the four games, this might be the game where I've seen the most division among experts picking.
I think so. What I thought was an interesting sort of subplot to put onto this game, and again, we're going to break down all the X's and O's. We wanted to get you that injury news, though, about the Rams left tackle, Andrew Whitworth, who's not going to be playing. Also, Taylor Rapp, the safety, is also not going to be playing in that game. So maybe a little Eric Weddle.
Oh, I can't wait.
The problem with it, like, the more, like, again, great story, but the more Eric Weddle you're seeing, like, that's probably not a great thing for the Rams.
Yeah. Tom Brady used to represent the middle-aged dads out there in the NFL. But yes, even though he's a lot younger, Eric Weddle's like a true, like, he was driving kids to soccer, and now he's kicking butt in the divisional round. I am rooting hard for Eric Weddle.
Yeah. From the minivan to midfield. Good for you. So I thought this was interesting from one of Brady's former teammates. Rob Ninkovich, of course, is now on ESPN, and he was asked about Brady and his plans for after this season and whether or not this could be Brady's last year. And he said it wouldn't surprise me if Brady decided to walk away this offseason and do whatever he wants to do. Right now, Tom is in bonus time. How many 44-year-old quarterbacks have we seen throw for the amount of yards and touchdowns? He'll be 45 in August. So at this point right now, what else does he have to prove to anybody? What else does he have to check off the list? Now, this is getting a lot of attention, of course, because Ninkovich actually knows Brady, is close to Brady, we assume. They were teammates for a long time. So maybe he has some sort of intel. This doesn't feel like farewell year to me, though, for Brady. And I can't tell. In fact, if you were asking me to make a prediction, I think this is more like, could Brady actually be part of another dynasty than could Brady retire? I'm being serious about that. He's 44 years old. They won a Super Bowl. He signed up the contract he has this year and next year he has a contract also. So I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to win back-to-back Super Bowls, but could Brady go to three Super Bowls? Could he go to three? Totally. Could he go this year? Absolutely. To me, Brady, like, I don't think he wants to retire. He's doing all this other stuff, but that's never stopped him in the past.
Well, I think, I don't really know what Ninkovich was thinking, but it seems to me he has to win this year to retire. He's not saying, because Tom Brady's not going out on a loss in the divisional round.
I can't see it.
I don't think he's ever lost the divisional round game. He's not going out on a disappointment, and he's still the best quarterback. Him and Rodgers had the best years. So I assume that Ninkovich is kind of implying that he wins. So if he wins two Super Bowls now, okay, just answer the question. Yeah. If he wins this year, do you think there's a better chance he walks off than if he loses?
You know, maybe if that's important to him. You're right. I can't see him walking away on a loss.
No.
That doesn't seem like the Brady way.
Like, ever. He could be like 63 years old.
Right. He's still coming back out like to the shuffleboard court one last time.
So, but if he does walk off on a win, then that's two Super Bowls in a row, which does not equal dynasty. It's too short a time.
Yeah, do we have to go to like the fine print of the rules of the dynasty?
I think you need three years.
3 and 4 years or something like that.
So, and also too, what if he say he wins these two and loses next year, then it's not a dynasty. He kind of has to, he has to win two and maybe beat it with third. What's our rule here?
You know, Perloff, like the world doesn't just wrap up in a nice little bow all the time. But this could wrap up nicely for him to win the back-to-back and then walk away. I mean, that's pretty baller.
No, it's not. What? Yeah, I mean, everything Tom Brady does is pretty baller.
Yeah, that's very true. But it depends if you think he's the kind of guy who also wants the farewell tour.
No, come on.
Okay, then maybe a surprise retirement might be like a Brady move.
He already has the Michael Jordan documentary going right now on ESPN Plus. You had mentioned that he had three dynasties in his career, in your opinion.
I think he's had like three Hall of Fame careers in one career.
Right.
This would be like a third dynasty to me if he was able to pull this off with the Buccaneers, which is, you know, winning a Super Bowl or, what do you think, getting to three Super Bowls is how we're going to loosely define this dynasty talk. But like early Brady years, which I know the defense was like basically the reason why they were winning so much. And then he goes 9 years in between without winning. and then winning in like the latter half, like late, you know, mid to late 30s Brady. And now this is like the third career in Tampa.
But that's a bit confusing because his best year was then in between dynasties.
I know. Well,
he set all the records in 2007. They went 16-0. I'm not sure there's as much of Brady. It's like there's the pass happy Tom Brady and then the early Tom Brady.
You know what? Did you watch? Obviously, you watched the game last week. Of course you did. But they, Fox did a really interesting thing where they had all Brady's headshots through the years.
Yes.
And like did that whole like time lapse thing where they go through. And the irony was that he's like more handsome now than he was when he was like in his 20s. And he looked like a total schlub, was like drinking beer and like not taking care of his body. And now he looks like, you know, beautiful. And it almost feels like that's how, like, all of those headshots were, like, all the different Brady years. It's, like, the kind of young, chubby-cheeked sort of, you know, still drinking, playing video games Brady, and then, like, the middle part where he wasn't winning Super Bowls. He was going to Super Bowls, but not winning.
And he had a long hairdo. He went Tom Brady at times, and there was Buzz Tom Brady, which I was a fan of. The hair alone tells half the story. You know, the funny thing, though, like I said, like the rules changed, what was it, 2004, 2005, where Peyton Manning and Tom Brady wrote a letter to the commissioner saying it's too hard to throw a pass. So they changed the pass interference rule, and all of a sudden Brady's numbers, so his career in numbers is completely different from 2006 on. So you got to consider that. But it doesn't feel like dynasty has to be short. It has to be the Steelers 4 Super Bowls in 9 years. Mm. To me, like the Patriots are a little too spread out. They're a modern salary cap dynasty. But like I feel like dynasty is the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s. We don't really have dynasty. The Yankees in the late 90s, like 4 in a row. I don't know that like these are normal dynasties. Have you watered down the word dynasty because it's so hard these days?
No, I'm not watering it down, but like I think of the San Francisco Giants, they won 3 in 5 years.
Was that a dynasty?
I thought so.
That was, well, they beat my Phillies in one of those years. I don't know if people
think. Yes, but I'm hanging on to old stuff with the Music City Miracle.
But you ask somebody, who are the great baseball dynasties? No one's saying the early 10s Giants because they kind of snuck in a couple of years. I know what you're saying. It is like modern dynasties. Like it's nothing like the old days. It's nothing like the 27 Yankees or
the
Michael Jordan Bulls. Those are dynasties. The Lakers in the 80s, the Celtics in the 80s. I feel like because of parity, you almost have to like kind of weigh down.
Do you, if you had to call it today, do you think Brady retires if they win, or do you think he's definitely coming back next year?
Oh, he's definitely coming back. Why would you leave the NFL if you have it mastered? I mean, he was amazing this year. I would have voted for him for MVP. I think he's right there with Rodgers. No, I have to see some skills diminish before you retire. He's probably better than he's. I mean, picture a 25-year-old Tom Brady and today's Tom Brady. Who would you want?
Oddly, today's.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I'd love to like split the difference and take like 34-year-old Tom Brady. But I agree with you. I don't think that, and I know Ninkovich said that he could see Brady retiring. I just don't see it. I think there's another part too. I think he fears the retirement. He's talked about this a little bit. He fears about what he would do after this. He said that on the field is where he feels like his true self. And so what do you do afterwards? Like, yeah, okay, buy all the crypto.com you could possibly have. That's not going to fulfill you. You know, you can have as many clothing lines and do the TB12. Nothing is going to replicate what he found on the field. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We see you guys on the phones. We're going to get to you in just a minute. We want to know why it seems that Josh Allen has all the pressure on him when it should be Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is the MVP, the former MVP and the Super Bowl champion. He's the one defending the top of the mountain here. Allen's still on the ascent. You can't be on the ascent. You can't be the hunter, Perloff, and also be facing the most pressure. Sports doesn't work like that.
I think America knows what you're doing here, Maggie. I think they know that you're trying to take pressure off Josh Allen and the Bills. And it's a good reason to do it. People are too high on these Bills.
No, I'm just calling it like I see it. I'm just calling it like it should be.
I don't know if you're capable of really doing that right now. You might be in Bills mania. I mean, you might be, this is the sports talk radio equivalent of jumping off onto a table right now. You're in full mafia mode.
I was going to say, I'm a dozen Labatt Blues in. So maybe that, I'm just kidding. We've hit the bottom of the hour. Here's a CBS Sports update with Rich Ackerman. But first, one story that made us all roll our eyes. Can't wait to get your reaction next. Here's Rich. Maggie and Perloff, it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. It's Maggie and Perloff. So easy to get in touch with us. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can talk to us on social media as well at Maggie and Perl, P-E-R-L. So I tried to pitch a story earlier today, take you guys behind the scenes a little bit, pre-production meeting. I tried to pitch a story. I said, guys, how great is this? I said, Jessica Pegula, the daughter of Kim and Terry Pegula, the owner of the Bills, has just advanced to the fourth round of the Australian Open. Yeah, I got crickets. Nobody responded. I said, isn't that such a great story? They go, no, this is so boring. You only like that because you're a Bills fan. So I thought, all right, let's throw out a couple other topics that you might find insufferable, but that I may find endearing.
Wow. Actually, it's more likely that I'll find endearing and you'll find insufferable.
Because normally I feel like it does work like
you
that.
Find a lot of things insufferable and you're in playoff mode, which makes you even less patient for what other people find cute.
Maybe I'm just insufferable right now, but we're going to start off. So Jessica Pegula advancing. I think that's endearing. You thought that was insufferable. Let's move on to another topic that we wanted to touch on today. So cold weather talk. Now, we know that in Green Bay this weekend, there's going to be some serious weather situation.
5 degrees. They're reporting 10 degrees below with wind chill. To me, this is the story. Maybe I'm putting myself out there. It's the fan story. And to me, I know that the wind isn't anything particular, but this has to affect the game. San Francisco's coming in from the Bay Area. They're not going to be used to this.
Don't you think, though, even if you live in Green Bay and you, in theory, would be used to the weather, I mean, when you get this cold, minus 10 degrees with the wind chill, don't you think everyone's kind of suffering?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, wait, so is this storyline endearing to you or insufferable?
Well, endearing is in the world, but at least relevant. Because I know, what's your answer?
I think these are insufferable stories.
Yeah, every time I pitch a weather story, Maggie's like...
Insufferable. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about a weather story when it's rain, snow, wind. Those, I think, impact the game. I know cold weather does too, but not in the same way as the elements. You know what I mean?
Minus 10 degrees, Maggie. I know you're from upstate New York, but minus 10? You don't think this is going to be the story of the game? Well, maybe not, because Josh Allen, what was the weather the other night in Buffalo?
It was 2 degrees.
It was like 2 degrees, and he threw 9 passes. But to me, these are interesting or endearing. Not, you're just mean. Go ahead.
Okay. What about the story about the Tennessee Titans? So in order to try to keep their home field advantage, their ticket office has implemented a new rule, which is you cannot transfer a ticket from one buyer to a next on the secondary market until 24 hours before the game. Is that endearing to you or is that insufferable?
That's insufferable. This whole trend of people imploring their home fans to come to the games is the softest, weakest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. What kind of team needs to beg their fans to come out to the stadium and not sell them to the opposing team, like Matthew Stafford's wife and now here in Tennessee? This is pathetic.
Maybe it's more pathetic than insufferable. Man, you're the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
And you've got to put in a protection
for Cincinnati
to keep
fans.
The Bengal fans out. I mean,
it's
that
not the
is
Steeler
something.
Fans. It's not like the Cowboys or Steelers are coming to town. I know that Nashville and Cincinnati are pretty close, but that's ridiculous. Fans have to really step up right here. Is it because it's college territory? What's going on here? I thought Nashville loved the Titans.
I don't know. I have no idea, but it is an insufferable storyline. I agree with you there. How about food related items, you know, when it's hot chicken versus Skyline chili, or it's buffalo wings versus Kansas City barbecue.
I'm here for all of it. I want to hear your city's favorite food, and I want it to be mentioned during the game ad nauseum. I want to see fish flying around Seattle. I want to hear about Skyline chili, which isn't really chili, it's more soup. That's a whole different story. I want to see pictures of barbecue. Bring it all on. It adds a whole another element to the game, and it makes me hungry.
So you find that endearing? Good for you. These are starting to get insufferable to me. I'll tell you a specific part of this that's getting insufferable. When the mayors of the two towns like bet each other, like, oh, I'll bet you wings if y'all bet you. Like, can we come up with something? I mean, we had Squid Games. Let's make this thing a little more interesting here. You want to do a little red light, green light? Now we're really talking here. Oh, now the mayor's really going to have to put their you-know-what on the line. Like, oh, I get you a bowl of Skyline chili. Like, who cares? It's not even endearing anymore. It's insufferable. We got to up the ante on some of these bets.
This is what I have to deal with every day. You want a mayor to risk their life. I just want to say, let's do a cheesesteak versus a bowl of clam chowder. I mean, the game, there's enough on the line with the game. I don't think we need to add violence amongst politicians. No, it's not the purge. It's just a NFL weekend.
I want this to be like the Princess Bride where they're switching the cups on each other. Yeah. And then we'll find out who's going to drink the poison.
I understand what you're saying. It is super cheesy when the mayor's like, oh, news report. The Bay Area is putting crabs against whatever. I don't know. What are the signature food? Crab cakes for Baltimore, cheesesteak for Philadelphia, clam chowder. What's New York pizza?
It's just so boring to me. Yeah, the cheese curds in Green Bay would be another one. This got to go.
But I saw your Twitter this weekend. You were sending out pictures of your homemade buffalo wings saying, oh, you are embracing the clicheness of it all.
And I told you what that was, a specific superstition that I had to keep going from last year. I will make the wings again on Sunday. And then if they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, the Bills, that is, I will cease making the buffalo wings in the championship game.
That sounds like something that you would describe as insufferable.
I am. I told you, I'm being insufferable now. I get it. Like, I'm... How did I come up with this bit? Is because I'm being insufferable. I totally get it. One other storyline for you, and this is the whole LaFleur, Shanahan, specifically this kind of coaching tree.
Sean McVay.
Yeah, the Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, right. All three of them together as like these young genius head coaches, because there's a million other coaching storyline things here. I mean, you have Sean McDermott going up against his mentor, Andy Reid. This isn't the only sort of tree that exists, yet this one seems to get a ton of attention.
Yeah, because nobody on earth cares about Sean McDermott versus Andy Reid. Sean McDermott was on defense anyway. He's not really part of the Andy Reid West Coast tree. But, I mean, it is a valid one. The fact that they were all on that Washington football team staff in 2000, what year was it, 2013 or 14?
Yeah, and, with RG3, right?
Right, and Sean McVay looked like he was 12 years old. Like, it's the most unbelievable picture.
He still looks that way.
Yeah, he looks even younger back then. That is pretty incredible. I think that there's a little more to this because it sort of emphasizes what a train wreck Washington is. Because they could have had any of these coaches, and yet I don't think they've had really... You know, they haven't had a really good team since those guys left under the Shanahan regime. So I think that Washington could have had the all-time staff, Sean McVay, LaFleur, the other LaFleur, Shanahan. It would have been amazing. I think people enjoy tweaking the Redskins or the former team, the Redskins, and also just the picture.
This is insufferable to you.
It's totally insufferable, but I'll let you answer that too. I'm just curious, if you had to rank looks-wise those three coaches.
They're all the same to me. They look exactly the same. They're just like three dudes. If I was describing them to police sketch artists, it'd all be the same.
Well, you know,
don't they look the same to all of you guys? Like, just mix them up the same.
But there was a big study who the best looking coach in the NFL was.
There was?
Oh my God,
who did that study? Harvard? Like, who decided to get in on that? People magazine?
I think it was Stanford or something, but one of those three coaches won. It was LaFleur.
I'm sure they're so proud. No, what there was an actual study. Now I'm going to lend a little credence to it. It was one of our colleagues, too, our former colleague, John Wertheim, wrote a big story for Sports Illustrated about why quarterbacks tend to be good looking. And it broke down this whole thing about leadership qualities and people tend to follow people that are better looking. And there was something real to it. I never saw the coaches. I don't know, like, do we not have enough things in our world that we should be dedicating our research to then who's the best looking NFL coach?
No. This is, I mean,
insufferable.
If you guys want to do a show wide draft on best looking coaches, I'm down for it. Yeah, LaFleur was number one, and I want you to follow me down this path. Number two was Brian Flores. Tell me you're not interested now. Number three was Robert Saleh.
No.
We're talking like facial structure, hair, although Saleh doesn't have any. Fine. Okay, fine. We won't go there. But as far as football goes, that was a pretty darn good staff. But just the annoyingness of how they're all buddies.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's insufferable.
That is insufferable. To me, I kind of find this endearing, actually. In a small way. A small way. It's a lot of nepotism. I get that. But in a small way, this is endearing because I think these guys are trying to do it differently. Mm. It's maybe not my cup of tea necessarily, but they are trying to do it a little bit different. And I think what's kind of now sort of bleeding out into like the coaching searches and stuff, is you are seeing like guys who are a lot more, I think, collaborative. Maybe that's the better word.
Yeah.
We've already seen this in Major League Baseball. We've already seen this more in the NBA, but definitely baseball, where the manager has to be taking a lot of input from everybody on the staff. And I think the NFL is kind of going that way. You know, like the grand, like the coach being like the grand poobah and like everyone else just like, you know, scurries around besides them, like beside them. I don't think that really exists anymore.
So you're saying that's why so many assistants under Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay get new jobs?
Yeah, because
they're given responsibility.
I think they actually have responsibilities.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was listening to Mike Lombardi, the former general manager, and he was talking about why Belichick assistants tend to, you know, not find success in the NFL. And he's like, I don't even know. This is what Lombardi said. I don't know if they know what Belichick does.
Yeah.
Like, do they actually understand what he does? And he's getting input and information from every single part of the organization, and he's internalizing it and then making, you know, decisions based on that. Whereas all those other guys, it kind of feels like, you know, reading about the Patriots and kind of listening to people who have been around that organization, and Lombardi was with Belichick in Cleveland, that everyone's kind of more separate and a little bit on their island. And then Belichick takes all the info from everyone and makes a decision. And so when they assistants go out and do their own thing, they're not taking the input from everyone, because I don't know if they realize that's what Belichick's doing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But they're still asking to interview these Belichick people, but they're hiring a lot of McVay and Shanahan people. I mean, we've seen this, the Shanahan tree and the McVay tree are growing like crazy. I think this year, Kevin O'Connell and Raheem Morris for the Rams are interviewing everywhere. The Niners coordinators are interviewing. Mike McDaniel's interviewing everywhere. So I think you're on to something. The new style coach seems to be more of a team player. Although, Kyle Shanahan, at the end of the day, if anything goes wrong, I feel like it's totally on him.
Well, that's what happens when you got the famous last name, when you have the famous, you know, situation that happened in the Super Bowl with the Falcons.
Right.
He's got a couple notables.
And he's got the
his resume.
He's got the genius label. Him and McVay have the genius label, so people like to point out when they're wrong. By the way, you didn't ask, but the last place on the ranking of the coaches, looking-wise, try and guess. The worst-looking coach in the NFL.
Ugh, man.
He recently got let go, so I don't know. This was last
year. So we're just going to really add insult to injury here?
Yeah. Vic Fangio came in number 32.
Oh. You know, something tells me he's going to be okay with that.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think
I think he's gonna be fine.
Yeah, Matt Rule's 31. Matt Rule might be bothered. He's a little younger. He's a little hipper. No social media. Vic Fangio is not gonna see this.
Did you see who Matt Rule just reportedly hired as his offensive coordinator? Someone who probably would have also been low on the list once upon a time.
Is it a Gruden?
No, it's not a Gruden. I think the Grudens are still in timeout for a little bit.
Oh,
maybe not Jay, but definitely John.
Oh, he interviewed Jay Gruden. Did they make a hire?
They did. Ben McAdoo.
Oh no. Well, Ben McAdoo's mistake was slicking back the hair.
Definitely.
He would have been fine. In fact, he'd still be the coach of the Giants today if he didn't slick back the hair. So there is something
significant. So something to his fashion choices it could have saved his job. It wasn't benching Eli Manning for Geno Smith. That wasn't it.
Oh, yeah, and the suit, too, by the way, that was about 8 sizes too big. So we laugh about these coaching looks. You think this isn't a factor? You think people aren't lining up to hire LaFleur's left and right and the Shanahan's?
They just want to be next to the good-looking people? Yeah, all right, maybe. 855-212-4 CBS, you convinced me. 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff talking about the NFL divisional round with you and the real keys to victory this weekend. Perloff's going to go against the grain.
Yes.
You know, you didn't have one yesterday, so you're back?
Yeah, I'm back. I think I have to add something because I've been watching all week this analysis of the four games. I mean, over-analysis of the four games. And everybody is making it about the wrong thing.
Man, what a tease. Really good. Coming up later on in the show as well, where, of course, we're going to make our picks against the spread. We're going to have our prop bets as well. Keith Bullock, the former Titans linebacker and All-Pro, is also going to join us later on in the show to talk about this number one overall seed in the AFC that kind of feels anything but. Maggie and Perloff, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Don't move. Perloff's Against the Grain comes your way after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.